ever.
Okay, so I am standing outside of C Venues, Aquila. Is it Aquila or is it Aqua?
I think it's Aquila.
Aquila, maybe?
I've heard someone call it Aquila, but I say Aquila.
Just at the moment, as Mr. Ringy Bell, the ghost tours, walks past. So that is genuine fringe colour, included for the price of a ticket. And I am standing with the company of...
Richard Hills-Ignon.
And Gail Star Cordesh.
Who are starring in...
For the Trumpet Shall Sound.
Which is the most beautiful lyrical piece on the First World War. It opens with the great-grandson of one of the protagonists going through the loft and discovering... Just checking the levels. Yep, we're doing good. discovering the diaries and photo album of one of the soldiers in the First World War. And the story that then expands out of that is the story of three people, or is it in a triangle?
It's kind of a triangle. Yeah, an interesting sort of triangle.
It's things happen, but we try not to define it.
Things happen. Well, thanks, guys, for talking to Fringe Review. That was absolutely fantastic. Okay, you know what? I think you guys should just talk. How did you come to write this script?
I suppose with the centenary of World War I coming up next year, it's very sort of present in everyone's minds. And it's a period I've always been really interested in, and I come from a military family, so I guess there's something there. Also, for us, it was partly about... The other issue, which we sort of try not to go on about too much, because for us it's a play about love.
Yeah, batting for the other team.
For us, yes. It's kind of a play about love, and so we didn't want it to make it specifically a gay play. We wanted it to be a play about love, looking at love, and love in its different forms, and kind of love then that was obviously so forbidden. And I guess we're sort of asking the question, have we moved on that much? When you consider a lot of the arguments that are going around at the moment with gay marriage, etc., how much have we really changed in almost 100 years?
I mean, sitting in the audience, and I see how the two male stars come together. The question I was sort of asking was, would they have been as honest with each other in any other circumstance? You know, when you think of, particularly in the 50s and 60s, people marrying, people having families, people living the lives that you guys describe on stage of, you know, drinking themselves into a stupor before doing the right thing by getting an heir. It's almost as though actually it's war that said, you know, we've got to deal with that. That's the man with the bell.
And lots of people. I think that's an interesting one, definitely, because what we've tried to do here is create something very much about truth. And what we wanted to do was raise issues and portray those issues in a truthful way to the era and to how it was, but also, as Gail said, about today. I think the important thing to remember is that there is no way that we will ever truly know what it was like for those men down there, but what we can only do is assume that they had to form friendships and bonds very quickly, because something could happen and nobody knows when. And what they had to do was love each other, because they were fighting for each other. They had to look out for one another, and they were encouraged to sort of really.
They were really encouraged to have this sort of homosexual love for each other, but without actually supposed to be doing anything about it. They wanted the men to intensely love each other in that way, but they didn't want them to go any further than that. And I think the intensity of being in that environment, where you think you might die tomorrow, I think it would make you very honest. You know, I really think it would.
Oh, now, to add to the fringe colour, the cast and crew, the rest of them, just happened to be walking past. So maybe the rest of you guys could introduce yourselves.
Kaylee Hawkins.
Who plays Nora.
Samuel James Morgan.
And I'm Bill Rose. I play Ruth.
So we were really sort of talking about what it's like to come off stage. I once read somewhere that it's a bit like being in a minor car crash. I mean, without any spoilers, you know, that car crash doesn't end well for you. So how does how are you feeling right now?
Generally, to be honest, when I walk off stage, I kind of forget everything. if I'm being honest, I my mind goes blank and I don't think about it until about 2 hours after the performance.
Interesting.
Because we were just talking about it, because it's different actually on different nights. So you were just saying that you felt a particular way tonight, weren't you?
Yeah, I often feel just absolutely drained and exhausted, whereas tonight I feel like I've got loads of energy, bags of it.
Like you could fight like a what would you call it, a second world war?
I don't know about that.
Ask the writer.
So as a team, how did you guys come together?
God, that's quite a long story. I met them all in different ways, and then we kind of have just really grown as a company over the past sort of number of months. We've been together as a company for just over a year, and some people in the company have been sort of there pretty much from day one, and others are newer. But
we're building.
Yeah,
we're building every day.
Yeah, and we are a bit like a giant family. Really.
Yeah.
So if I come back tomorrow, there's going to be like more people in the...
Quite possibly. Quite possibly.
Originally, it was a one-man show. Bill, you spend most of the action after it's flipped back to the 1910s, kind of fielding for the team. What's it like to be on stage with guys who are so intense and so in the moment, but you have to kind of act in this detached way? You know, you're not allowed to act like this is happening to you. You're reading about it. There's quite a difference in approach, isn't there?
Yeah, it was actually it was a kind of balance of three things. Partly feeling as Ruth reading it and reading it for the first time, partly reading it as Jamie, who's it's his writing, and then also doing that narration thing for the audience. So it was like constantly trying to find that balance of those three things. So actually it was quite challenging to also not overreact to things, but have nuances of reactions to things that were going on, but not really obviously at the same time necessarily, and that kind of thing. But it's funny because I just said tonight to you, didn't I, when I came off, that
You know, if you point, it doesn't really work on the...
I said to the director, Gail Stargordish, just tonight, that, because I only have the first bit where it's dialogue, that actually I miss that kind of dialogue thing. It's great, you know, but it's a long time to be on stage and not be conversing and not have a blackout on you.
It's, I mean, look, I've just been in it. It's the most... the most extraordinary sort of piece in terms of ensemble work that's going on. And I think what's so, as I was saying, is that's so unique about it is the fact that half the cast, or, you know, for a lot of it, three quarters of the cast, are in a totally different time zone and under a totally different experience from the rest of the cast, well, Bill. And it just, it melts together in a way that you wouldn't normally expect with actors who'd be trying to hog the limelight and push each other out. How did you make them behave?
I think that's just to do with the fact that actually it sounds really like vomity, but we really are a company, and we really actually all care about each other and actually about telling stories. So for us, it's not about individuals, it's about working together as a group, and that's what we really, really care about, and putting our stories across. So for us, that's the heart of everything. So there's no sense of anyone actually ever trying to hog anything, really, at all.
You're right. That's massively vommy. Now, we do like to end these interviews by asking, now, if there's one show that the audience that you guys would recommend to people that... Dragonfly, they're doing like a Fawlty Towers thing in the background here.
if there's dancing. We're getting ready to groove. Carry on, sorry.
Whenever you guys are ready.
Actually, you know, we've seen so many between us. But there's a couple of musicals that we've seen that are really, really good. And one of them is Snakes the Musical. And by the same company, This Was Your Life. Hilarious. Quite different. Three people in them, in each of them. But they're just hilarious. I think have we all seen at least one
I've
of them,
snakes,
haven't we?
Yeah.
Proper feel-good factor. It's just something. Enjoyment, what Fringe should be.
It's something you need after sitting through an hour of our performance where it's quite hard hitting. You need something to
I'm just off to go and see Bonk. So, Sex and Science. Guys, thank you so much for talking to Fringe Review. Thank you so much.
Thank you.